continue today our series called Overflow, in which we've been learning about the living water that comes from Jesus. I've been encouraging you to memorize this verse. We'll read it again, and next week I'm going to see how well you've been learning it. But let's read it again together. May the God of hope fill you with all joy and peace as you trust in Him, so that you may overflow with hope by the power of the Holy Spirit. We learned in Acts chapter 1, verse 8, one of the final things that Jesus said to His disciples was, you'll receive power when the Holy Spirit comes into your life, and you will tell about Me in Jerusalem and all over the countries of Judea and Samaria and to the ends of the earth. And so earlier in this series, I introduced you to this idea of a fountain, and the fountain has a water source, and that source is the Holy Spirit. And the Holy Spirit is given to fill you up. And then Jesus told His followers that you'll go to Jerusalem, Judea and Samaria, and to the ends of the earth. And we talked about that application doesn't mean we have to go to the Holy Land to begin. No, we can start right here. And as the Holy Spirit fills your life and you experience the goodness of God, it spills over and overflows into your relationships with your family and friends, into your community, and into your world. We started this series by looking at an encounter Jesus had with a woman at the well. She came out in the middle of the day to draw water, and Jesus offered her living water. He said if she drank the living water that He had, she'd never be thirsty again. And she said, I want this. And she drank the living water, she believed in Jesus, and then she went out and told the other people in the community about the Messiah. We talked in the next week about some of the relationships Jesus had with Peter, the loud and messy fisherman. And Jesus loved him just the way he was. And He trained him into becoming the apostle that would share the first proclamation of the gospel on the day of Pentecost. Jesus also had slow and steady followers like Nicodemus. He wanted to believe so bad, but he had a lot to lose. But he followed Jesus from afar. And then we learned about Martha and Mary, the sisters of Lazarus. And Martha got a little distracted by getting things ready for a meal. And she came and she asked Jesus, would you scold my sister and tell her to come help me? And Jesus says, you know, Mary's found the thing that's most important, and it's not going to be taken away from her. And Jesus wants to spend time with each and every one of us so that He can fill us up. So last week we talked about overflow to family and friends, and this week we're going to take the next step talking about overflow to the community. Now, a few years ago I was reading a book called Outflow, and the author was a man who was a preacher at the Vineyard Church here in Cincinnati. And he tells a story that he was driving through Taco Bell. And as he's sitting there waiting, he said he just felt like the Spirit of God was telling him, open your car door and look down. So he did. And when he looked down, he saw a penny, and it was an old, beat-up penny. He felt the Spirit of God saying something very powerful. The voice said, in the eyes of this world, a lot of people in our community that you're trying to reach are like this penny. They're flawed, imperfect, and forgotten. Many churches don't see much value in wasting time on them. Through the eyes of some people, they may look shabby and worthless, but to me, they are just like you. They are precious beyond measure. I'd like to invite you to open your Bibles with me today to 2 Corinthians chapter 5. If you'd like to follow along in the chair Bible, you'll find this on page 932. We're going to look at 2 Corinthians chapter 5, verses 16 to 20. And he's going to share something very important about mission. We have stopped evaluating others from a human point of view. So we've stopped evaluating others from a human point of view. At one time, we thought of Christ merely from a human point of view. How differently we know Him now. This means that anyone who belongs to Christ has become a new person. The old life is gone, and a new life has begun. And all of this is a gift from God, who brought us back to himself through Christ. And God has given us this task of reconciling people to him. For God was in Christ reconciling the world to himself, no longer counting people's sins against them. And he gave us this wonderful message of reconciliation. So we are Christ's ambassadors. God is making his appeal through us. We speak for Christ when we plead, come back to God. Isn't that an amazing passage? It tells us what Paul came to understand, that it wasn't just the Jewish people that were special to God, it was all people. And he said that we as Christ followers have an important part in that. Did you catch it? We are Christ's ambassadors. What's an ambassador? Well, if you think about it, our country has ambassadors appointed to go to other countries to represent us to them. And in the same way, Christ calls us, all of us, to be his ambassadors from his kingdom to people here that don't yet know him. Isn't that a wonderful privilege? And further, God is making an appeal to people who don't yet know him, but he's doing it through us. So last week we talked about overflowing through the natural relationships you already have with family and friends. And today we want to talk a little bit about overflowing to the community. Now, Paul wrote to the Colossians in Colossians 4, verses 5 to 6, live wisely among those who are not believers and make the most of every opportunity. Let your conversation be gracious and attractive so that you will have the right response for everyone. That's what an ambassador does. An ambassador lives among people who are not part of his country and makes the most of every opportunity for communication, for building bridges of understanding, and we do that by letting our conversation be gracious and attractive. Unfortunately, many people who are believers don't do it in a very gracious or attractive way. It's kind of like in adult Bible fellowship this morning when we read about the Pharisees. They didn't talk to people in a gracious and attractive way, did they? So as we think about overflow to the community, there's a lot of different ways we can do it. One of the ways is to overflow through organized ministries. In the last couple of years, probably one of the biggest organized ministries that we've been a part of has been the mobile food pantries. From the very beginning, we've had cars lining up down the street and about 150 of them coming through the parking lot. And many of you have been a part of volunteering for that. And that is a way that people in the community know that people in this church care. They might not be ready to come to a Sunday morning worship service, but there are so many people that are in such need because of the way the economy is right now that they will come through our parking lot for help. And really, it's pretty easy to do, isn't it? We've been blessed by this partnership with Interparish Ministry, who actually brings the food. And then we come together, along with some people from the other churches in the community, to pack the food and to distribute it. And I'll tell you what, one of the things I love to watch when she gets that position, I love to watch Connie when she's greeting people, because Connie is so gracious and friendly and bold. And she'll often ask people how they're doing, it's good to see you, and hey, do you go to church? And when they say no, you ought to come here. And she just overflows in that way because she's found a home in this church family and she wants other people to hear about it too. But this is one way that we have an excellent opportunity to overflow in the community. But what do you think about all the people coming up and down 125 and seeing all those cars pulling into that church? What's going on there? What's the big deal? And it gives an opportunity for us to be gracious and to be giving, and all it takes is a little bit of time. I know a lot of young people aren't going to want to hear this news, but in a couple of months, it'll be time to start thinking about going back to school. And we have another opportunity to overflow. We've partnered together with the other churches in our community, and we supply backpacks and school supplies for the students in our community. Again, the economy is really hard on families with children, and this is something that we can do to overflow into the community. Towards the end of July, you'll start seeing the announcements that we're getting ready to collect school supplies. And we'll have a list for you to take to the store, and you can bring supplies, and we'll collect them in our fellowship hall. If you can be with us on that first Tuesday night of August, we go down to the school, and we set up basically a bookstore in the lunchroom. And they come through, and they get a book bag, and then they get to fill it with the things that they need for their classes. And again, what do you think the parents must be thinking? Who are these guys that would do this? And it's our opportunity to overflow and to help in a very simple way. Another thing that we've enjoyed doing is taking advantage of the Halloween holiday. And we've got an awful lot of kids and families that come walking up and down this street. Some churches will say, we're not going to do anything with Halloween, or they'll do some kind of an alternate activity. But I think it's kind of neat that we're able to put a little fire pit out there and some chairs and a table with candy. And I'll tell you what, I loved watching Cheryl and Mary Lou and some others give handful of candy to these kids, because you guys have been generous in bringing candy. And many of the kids are shocked. We get more than one? And they love it. And it's another way they see that we are a generous church. Now, there may be other things from time to time. Like last year, we partnered with HCAT and did a children's Christmas program. And many of you came and helped with that. But these kinds of things are gracious. And they're attractive. And they can help us open up conversations with people who might not be ready yet to darken the doors of our church. But when they see us as a church that's involved in the community, that is generous and loving, maybe the door will swing open. But you know, instead of only overflowing through organized ministries, you can also overflow when the Spirit moves. I call it freestyle. And it means you can do it whenever you see an opportunity. You can do overflow with people with whom you work or go to school. You can overflow with people who serve you at stores and restaurants. You can overflow with people that you see who are in need and maybe ignored, kind of like that ruffled penny that we saw at the beginning. But as the Spirit opens your eyes to opportunities, be ready to overflow. And one of the other things I'd like to encourage you to do, if you've got a bulletin, would you take it out just now? Some of you have heard this before, but if you're newer to the church family, you might not know this. We have the front cover, and then open it up to the inside cover. You've probably seen this before. Welcome to our church family. What kind of church is this? What will happen today? We've designed our bulletin in such a way that after you're done on Sunday, you can actually tear it off. But you can give the bulletin when you overflow with somebody, and it's an invitation to come to church. The worship times are on the front side. The sermon series that we're doing is on the front side. But on the back side is a light introduction to our church family. So if you've been storing up bulletins in your Bible over the past several weeks, just understand they are multi-use bulletins. They can tell you about the service today, but you can tear it off and you can hand this out to somebody with whom you're overflowing so that they can understand a little bit more about who we are as a church family and what we're about. I think it's really important to always keep your eyes open for opportunities to overflow. And I bet most of us would be surprised how many opportunities God sets in front of us, but unless we're watching, unless we're open to them, we might walk right on by. And so pray that your eyes will be open, that you'll see the opportunities that God sets before you. I want to tell you about something that happened 2 months ago. Back on April 2nd, something pretty significant happened in our community. Does anybody remember what it was? We had severe weather. Remember the tornadoes? One of them came down here just in northern Kentucky and swung up into West Union, and another one went north over towards Highland County. Well, on that day, I got a phone call from CD. And CD said, "Dave, have you seen what's going on Facebook?" And I said, "No, because I'm not on Facebook." And he said, "Well, there's a lot of people that are concerned about this weather that's coming in later tonight. And there are some people in some of the other communities, like at Mount Oreb and Bethel, that churches are opening up for a shelter for people that don't have a basement or other way to shelter from the storm." And he said, "Do you think we could do that?" And I said, "Well, this has never come up since I've been here. Let me check with Steve." So I called Steve, and Steve had also heard this from Teresa. And so Steve and I talked about it, and Steve said, "I don't know that we've ever done it before, but I don't have any objection to it," and I didn't either. So we went ahead and planned to open the building for that night, and I put an announcement out on the sign, "If you need shelter from the storm, you're welcome here." And CD and Stella came that night, and we had about a dozen people maybe. There were people that needed a place to go, and they came. And so on the third Monday of each month, the village has a council meeting. And so I said to Steve, "What do you think about if we went to the council meeting and just shared that, you know, a lot of people were asking if there's a place to go? And what about if we kind of just made that offer to the village that if people need a place to go, we'll make the church available?" And they loved it. And so Justin, who's our mayor, asked me to put together a flyer so they could put it up in the village buildings. It's also out on Facebook. So we're going to make our building available for people who need shelter from tornado warnings. How often do we have tornado warnings? Not often, but we're going to put ourselves out there as people to help in the community. We want to be a place of refuge and shelter for people who are experiencing storms. And just like what we saw in Adult Bible Fellowship this morning, I wasn't just talking about physical storms. We want to be a shelter and refuge for people who are facing other storms of life. And if you need a place to shelter, or if you'd like to come and minister to people who need a place to shelter, like CD and Stella did that night, you're welcome to do that. So keep in mind that you are an ambassador. You're an ambassador for Jesus. And especially to people in our community, in the neighborhoods in which we live. Most of us over the last year or so have really been getting to enjoy Dennis and Ellen Tom. But when Ellen first moved here, she was not a committed believer in Christ. But she's become that. And I've invited her to come and tell us the story of somebody that overflowed into their lives. Ellen.
What a fitting time speaking about ambassadors. Coffee pot, cookies, red shoes, and sports cars. In 2009, I had the honor of writing and delivering the eulogy for my neighbor and best friend, Nancy Parks. Let me share with you the bookends of our friendship. Alpha and Omega are important. The beginning and the end, but what's in the middle, like a sandwich? The meat and cheese, that's the good stuff. Now the backstory. When Dennis and I moved from Cleveland to Southwest Ohio in the tragic year of 2001, we were living the fast life. We flew fast jet airplanes for many airlines and often very rude, wealthy people. We both took a transfer to Cincinnati from Cleveland. Now, I was the first to arrive on the property that we had purchased. I drove down from Cleveland towing the horse trailer and other essentials. Now, remember, this is June of 2001. As I'm patiently waiting for the moving truck to come down the driveway, which, by the way, didn't show up for 3 days, I see a beat-up red truck trundling down my driveway, and I think, it's a scout for the moving company. It's got to be a good sign. Trundles up to the house, and out of the vehicle comes a couple with a lot of years on them, holding a coffee pot and cookies. And I think to myself, oh Lord, it's Andy of Mayberry and Aunt B. And I look at my watch. And I think to myself, oh Lord, it better be quick. I've got a lot to do. And it was quick. Brief introductions, hello, how are you, we live over here, etc. And then they went home. Yes, they're gone. Now I can start cleaning before the movers get here. Now that was Saturday morning. Saturday evening, the phone rings. Can you believe it? Cincinnati Bell, we already had a phone. Ring, ring. Hi, honey, it's your neighbor, Nancy. I'm thinking, oh, she's not coming over again, please. I said, hi, Nancy, how are you? Well, honey, I wanted to let you know, if you want to go to church tomorrow, we'll pick up about 10 o'clock, and the church is only a quarter mile down the road. Let me get back to you. So Dennis and I chatted, and we both agreed, Lord, don't ride with them, because then you're the captive. And then we thought, you know, church, they want your money, right? So we're thinking, what do we write the check out for? And we decided, you know, a small conservative amount would do a couple things. It would get us in the door, out of the door, and probably not another invitation. So I called Nancy and I said, honey, we'll meet you there. Wonderful. Met her at church. Now, in the ensuing months, Nancy and her husband Dan continued to be gentle witnesses to us, always inviting us to go to church and never laughing with some of our very poor excuses why we couldn't go. Later that year in 2001, Dennis and I were both baptized at Salt Air Church of Christ by Brother Bob Wickline. Who do you suppose our witnesses were? Dan and Nancy Parks, right? As Nancy suffered through Parkinson's disease, God was preparing me to take care of Dennis, my spouse, when he was diagnosed with Parkinson's disease. Do you hear kind of a thing in there where God was preparing me? And as I was writing her eulogy, I sat down with her eldest son, because many times the family has a little nugget that they would love to hear when the story is told of their beloved one who has passed away. And her son shared with me, which we knew, she loves coffee, she loved red shoes, and by the way, she wore a size 4. You could barely see her feet. But she also loved fast cars. So here was Nancy, 4'11", size 4 feet. When she was still working, she would drive her red Mazda Miata convertible down the road and jump on 52, and she'd say, honey, I opened it up today. Nancy would often call me her hero, and I said, no, 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 Nancy, you are my hero. And she was, and she is, and she's God's beloved child. And that is my story of having a witness and an ambassador in our lives. Thank you.
So, if it wasn't for Nancy overflowing to her new neighbors, we might not know Dennis and Ellen today, and more importantly, they might not be committed Christ followers. We can do this. We can be those ambassadors. Now, there are some churches around the country where you'll hear this message today that you are important to God. How many of you believe that, that you're important to God? Well, I also want you to know that every person in our community is important to God too. You know how I know that? If you'd like to open your Bibles with me and follow along, I want to read to you from Luke chapter 15 in the Chair Bibles. It's on page 840. Jesus was talking to some people who didn't know God. They were not the religious crowd. And the people who were part of the religious crowd were ticked about it. Look at what happens in Luke 15 when Jesus tells two significant parables. Luke records this. Tax collectors and other notorious sinners often came to listen to Jesus teach. This made the Pharisees and teachers of religious law complain that he was associating with such sinful people and even eating with them. So Jesus told them this story. If a man has 100 sheep and one of them gets lost, what will he do? Won't he leave the 99 others in the wilderness and go search for the one that's lost until he finds it? And when he has found it, he will joyfully carry it home on his shoulders. When he arrives, he will call together his friends and neighbors, saying, "Rejoice with me, because I have found my lost sheep." In the same way, there is more joy in heaven over one lost sinner who repents and returns to God than over 99 others who are righteous and haven't strayed away. Or suppose a woman has 10 silver coins and loses one. Won't she light a lamp and sweep the entire house and search carefully until she finds it? And when she finds it, she will call in her friends and neighbors and say, "Rejoice with me, because I found my lost coin." In the same way, there is joy in the presence of God's angels when even one sinner repents. So is God glad that you're here today? Sure, but he's more concerned about people who do not yet know him. And if we want to have the heart of God, we need to have that understanding too. Now, when I was in college, we had a classmate who was a talented musician and songwriter, and he wrote a song about this verse. And the heart of his song is, there's not a whole lot that we know about angels, but there's one thing we know, and that's when the angels rejoice. Most amazing thing to me is Jesus was God's son and God sent him to deliver the message. But after Jesus died, was buried, and rose again, he went back to the Father and he left this task of being ambassadors for the kingdom of God with people like us. He could have stayed and done it himself. He could have sent the angels to do it. But he has entrusted us with this message so that we can be ambassadors for Christ. And when somebody responds and becomes a follower of Jesus, man, that is when the angels rejoice. That's when the party's going on in heaven. It's a little convicting when we read the parable, though, because the 99 sheep were important to the shepherd, but he didn't throw a party for them. And if you know the next parable that comes in Luke 15, he tells the story of the prodigal son, the son that asked for his father's inheritance and went away and wasted it on wild living. But when he came to his senses and returned home, the father welcomed him with open arms, and it ticked the older brother off. May we be those ambassadors that will make the angels rejoice by overflowing into our community this message from Jesus. So my challenge for you today is this. Pray every day that the Holy Spirit will help you see the opportunities that He's providing for you to overflow. And pray every day that you'll be receptive to the promptings of the Holy Spirit to overflow in those situations. You know what the biggest killer of this often is? Our busyness. Many times we see opportunities and we sense the prompting, but I just don't have time right now. But because Nancy took the time, Dennis and Ellen are in the kingdom. And now they're overflowing to other people too. And that's what God wants us to do. Would you pray with me, please? Lord God, thank you so much for this message that we are your ambassadors. And sometimes we feel inadequate, but your Spirit gives us the words. He gives us the way if we will only be receptive. Thank you for the many opportunities you've given us to overflow into our community through things like the mobile food pantry and in the backpack and school supplies and the trunk and treat and the children's Christmas program and all these different things. But Father, thank you also for the opportunities that we have to overflow freestyle. And thank you so much for Dennis and Ellen's neighbor, Nancy, who is a good example of the kind of overflow that we should have. Father, help us to watch for the opportunities. Help us to listen to the promptings we receive. And we give you all honor, praise, and glory. In Jesus' name, amen. Would you stand and let's sing our sermon response?